Bereishis chapter 15. So this chapter is actually quite a complicated chapter. It has a few different things going on in it. But in the most basic sense, it consists of a series of, I think, three different promises or stories of promises that might have been all in one dialogue, in one story. But there's three different promises that Hashem makes to Avram. So let's start from the first one and see what it says. Firstly, there's a connection between this and the previous chapter. And this is something important to notice in general. We've been following the ways in which stories or parts or parshiyos start and end. And here there's a very obvious way in which, obviously, the previous chapter was one story, the story of the war. And this chapter also is obvious, pretty obviously something that has a beginning and an end. And it also has a connection between the previous story. It starts, Achra Dvarim Ma'ela. This is one of the phrases which the Torah uses to connect things and also to create some kind of chronological order. This was after Hadvarim Ma'ela, these things, the things that were said above. But I think also tends to create a kind of conceptual or some kind of order relating to the content of the thing. So after there was this war, there's some kind of implied question or some kind of implied problem left open, and this story comes to answer that problem, to connect, to continue that question. So the story is, after this, and this is also a language that we should notice. There have been different languages we discussed. There's Vayomer Hashem al Avram from the beginning of Lech Lecha. Then there's Vayayru Alev Hashem. Hashem was revealed to him and made him the promise of Eretz Yisrael and when he came to Eretz Canaan. And now there's a third kind of language, very specific kind of language. There's Dvar Hashem to Avram b'machze in a vision. So this seems to be a different kind of situation. There's some visual content to this. There's not only words, and we can see later that there's some visual content with the stars. Seems like that's probably the visual content referred to. So Hashem appears to him, and he tells him this. He tells him, Al tira Avram, anoichi mugen lach, schorcha harbemioi. Don't be afraid. I am your protector. I'm your shield, and you will have a great reward. And this apparently is answering a question. As I said, if someone has a vision that tells him, don't be afraid, what we can understand is that he was afraid. There is something to be afraid of here. But Hashem is promising, don't be afraid. And if it's connecting to the previous story, we would assume that the thing he's afraid of is that he's just got into this whole big fight between all these kings. And apparently that's a dangerous situation to be in. He has some allies, but Kedarlo Imer and Amraphel also have allies. So he's in some danger. And Hashem is promising him that he will be protecting him. Okay, so that's the story. And he will have a lot of reward. In other words, also, since he declined the reward from the Melech Sadoim, he seems maybe he's like questioning if that was the correct thing to do. Maybe he's questioning how he will be successful. So Hashem is telling me you'll be successful. Now there's another question. Now this is, I think, the first time in which Avram answers back to Hashem something. It's Vayomer Avram, and Avram says, Hashem Elikim, Adinoi Elihim. So Adinoi, really it says, Adinoi, my Lord, Yitkevavka. And we read it as Elihim because of complicated reasons. He says, what will you give me? What he's telling him is, you're promising something very nice, I will be protected, I will be have a lot of reward. You're not giving me anything. Since I am known to have children, Ariri is a name for someone, a specific name for someone dying without children, Ariri. It's like dying without children has a specific noun, a specific name for that in the Torah. It's something very bad. And I do have some people we saw in the previous chapter. He has Norim, he has his allies, and apparently Domestic Eliezer was the name of his greatest ally. Ben Meshek Beis, he may be the leader, the manager of my household, but he's not my son. He is some stranger. And therefore, apparently, as it says in a second, Vayomer Avram, Hen Lilin Esatazorav, Hen Even Beis Yeresh Oisi. I don't have any children, any seed, right? Any biological children. And therefore, this son of my household, the manager of my household, who is some stranger from Damascus, right? I think that's the point. Damascus, Eliezer, also Damascus was mentioned in the previous chapter. This is an important city in the area where Avram is active. And apparently, he had this manager, this person, who was working for him, who was in charge of everything, who is from Damascus. His name is Eliezer. But he's not his son, he's not his biological descendant, and that's very sad to Avram. And v'hineh dvar Hashem elav, again, the same language, dvar Hashem elav, the word of God is to him, different than v'yemer Hashem, there's some difference. Lo yirash chazek, kima she'etzem ech yirashach, no, in very explicit biological language, the one who goes out of your intestines, literally, but basically means from your body, He will be your will inherit you. Okay? So this is the promise, and then there's a vision for this promise, and I think that's the machz that I would discuss. It takes him outside, because the vision is outside. This might be also all in a vision. It might not be literally taking him outside. And he shows, he tells him, look at the skies, count the stars, if you can count them, your children will be like that. We already had a similar language earlier, where he said, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, after Lloyd left, he said, look around and see. He was already promised to have many children, but apparently Avram still didn't buy it, or still didn't wasn't convinced by it, or still wasn't satisfied by that. This is a question why there's all these repetitions of the same promises, but there seems to be reasonable. It's going on years and other things, and he's not getting to that. And he says he will give. And then there's this end of this section which says Vehemim Bahashem Vachshaveh Lo Tzedakah. It's not very clear. It says what it means is basically he trusted in Hashem, which we should imply that until now he didn't. So Hashem promised him the same things until now, but it wasn't as strong. And maybe, as we'll see later, he creates a very explicit covenant, a very explicit deal, an explicit treaty for this. And there's something important in this, making it more real, the promise. And but he believed, and he trusted. The Hashem should be translated as he trusted. It's not clear who counted what as a tzedakah to who. We could probably assume that this means Avram understood that God is just and will do what he promised. That's what I think, but you can read it also that Hashem considered the tzedakah for Avram, whichever way. Okay. Now, what is important is, now there's a new revelation. And we can assume that this is part of this machzeh. Maybe I'm just separating it as new parts, although there's a very similar dialogue between one and the other. And also, in certain, there's different ways, and this is another discussion, there's different ways in which parts of the Torah relate to chronology. Some of them are written very clearly in a chronological order, so that's what organizes it. We discussed already. And some parts are not written in a chronological order, so what that orders them is not necessarily chronology. So we might need to read this as all happening sort of simultaneously, and it's all a vision, so visions have less, vision is like a dream, doesn't have to be necessarily a dream, but some kind of vision, which might have some dream logic, where not everything is exactly in the chronological order. There's these things, these laws don't apply so much to visions. So now there's a revelation of Hashem, of Yomer Eilav, the first time he speaks to him, in this vision the first time, and he gives his identity card, so to speak. He identifies himself. He says, Ani Hashem, Ani Yitkavivka, I am Yitkavivka, which has Asheret Tzesicha Merkazim, I took you out of Merkazim, so I've made you travel all the way from there, in order to give you this land, to inherit this land. Okay, so that's the second thing. So first we talked about him having children, and he promised him he shouldn't be afraid, he's going to have children. And now he's promising the land. Again, the land also, it's not the first time he promises him. And on this also, Avram has a question. And the same kind says, my Lord, so similar to how he asked for his children, he didn't ask for a sign on that, but he's asking, it seems from the answer that he's asking for a sign. So he's asking for a treaty, something like, how would I know that I will inherit it? And what this means is, okay, a promise, but promises there's different logics, and of course God might have different ways of how he works than human beings, but the point is, when you make a treaty, you promise without any like piece of paper, without any ritual for it, without any signs for it, it's a weaker thing, and we don't know. That's the very clear language. How do I know? Like, what can I point to that will show that this is a promise that I was made, that will happen? That's the sort of how we should read it. And we can see this from the answer. And Hashem answers him, "Choli egle mishalasses, take a calf and a goat and a ayil and two birds, toid vegozal, a larger bird and a smaller bird. And this will be, and this apparently this was a practice of how to seal deals, how to seal treaties, how to make promises. He takes all of these, he cuts them in the middle, and he puts their cuts one against the other. Besides for the bird, and the bird is too small to cut. I think that's the reason. Maybe that's why there's two birds. Toiv v'goizel. So you put one on each side. And that seems to be, and we'll see in a second, that and Rashi says this, but it seems to be the simple pshat, that this was the practice of making a bris. You would cut up an animal, and maybe eat some of it together, and then walk between them. Okay? And now there's a story of Yered Aitlap. Could be an interesting detail, which is not clear why it's there. Maybe it's part of the revelation that has some symbolism, but you have to think about what it is. A vulture comes and tries to eat, and Avram pushes it away, sends it away, scares it away. And now, as the sun is setting, and this whole story might have been happening as the sun is setting, it's a kind of in-between time, which is maybe a time of visions, as we have before. He took and showed the stars, and this might be all happening in some kind of dusk intermediate time. And Avram is getting tired, and a great fear befalls him. And this fear, I think, is the fear of revelation. This is where he's going to see, have the most clearest vision, which is at least a vision clearly representing God. And he tells him like this, and there's also a statement, another saying. So in other words, connected to the question of Amoedah, which is sort of asking for more details, more make the promise more clear, give me more details. And he gets a lot more details. And part of some of the details are kind of not very good news. And maybe this is what God was hiding from him all this time. He didn't really tell him what it will cost, what will entail this getting the land. And now he finds that. And of course, this is pre-configuring, preface, end of Bereshit and Shemas. This was things that will happen. But this is all Avram, he says, your descendants will be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to them. They will work and they will be subjugated for 400 years. Afterwards, they will leave with a great amount of property, with Rechish Goda. And I will also judge the nation. Sorry, I went backward. I will judge the nation that they will be subjugated to. I think Avodim V'Inyah, Sim'ini doesn't have to mean something like torture. Just that's the inner, and it means to be subject to something is an inner. That's the language, as we have in other places. But, and this is something that will happen to your children, but you will not have this problem. You will die. You will come to your parents in peace, which is a nice way of saying you will die peacefully on your bed. And coming to your parents is a euphemism. Maybe not only a euphemism, but it's a word of saying you will die and be buried in your family grave. Of course, there's a question about this because Terach wasn't actually buried together with Avram, apparently. And there's a whole story in Chayasura about the family graves, so, but it must have something to do with this. You will be buried in at a good old age. This is a good way to die. But the fourth generation will return, and it gives a reason. This is a little weird, where this like seems like a side that. Because the sin of the Amori, which are the current, but Amori seems to also be another name, or maybe a different group of people living in the land, their sin is not full. And the logic here is the logic of Nismalis Osam, that every nation, there's like an amount of sin, an amount of bad things you can do before you get punished for it. And the point is that Avram needs to get the land, but there also needs to be some kind of something wrong, which the current people who own the land, like you can't just take it away from them. And it takes time for them to do enough bad things so it's to deserve that. It's interesting, but that's the logic here. But in any case, that's the 400 years. Now, this is the question, of course, of these 400 years, how to count them. I don't know if we have to take all these numbers so literally. And then, so that's the statement. That's the like the words of the bris. And then there's, as the sun is setting, and there's some great darkness, alota, which must mean something like a thick darkness or like a fuzzy situation. And there is a fire, tanir oshan, a burning, a smoking oven, and a lapid esh, some kind of fire walking through these cut pieces. And this must be a representation of God walking through the besorim, or here called gezorim, the cut off pieces of the animals, and signifying God sort of signing and accepting this treaty, this covenant. And then the last part, and this might be a third thing, I call it a third thing, but it's really just like the sort of like third person, or like the narrator describing what this was. Bayoimehi, in that day, Hashem Kuras Bris cut a covenant. That's the language in which means something like signed a treaty or created a deal with Avram to give him, which says that he will give his descendants this land. And there's two kind of ways of describing it here. Number one, there's the boundaries ways from river to river, from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates, to the Pras. This is the original. I think this is the most broad description of the boundaries of the land that was given to Avram in the Altar, from the river to the river. And then there's another list of 10 nations which he was given. So the nations that were living there, and these are the ones which we have to wait for. And there's a list. This is a long list of all the people living in the places that his descendants are to inherit.